for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Agenda item number 4 is added agenda items. Any matters added to this agenda at this time will be discussed during the other matters portion of the agenda. Agenda item number 5, public comments for items not on the agenda. Oh, come on, we have to have some public comments.
I don't know what
we want to
talk about yet.
Yeah, we start. Maybe we want to add public comments down just before adjournment. That'd be a lot more lively, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would probably. Yeah.
We might consider doing that in the future. Because we like our public comments. We hear a lot of them, you know, on the phone in the back alleys. And, why can't we hear them right here?
It's supposed to be public.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, excuse me, Johnny. Did you say I wasn't sure. Did you say you wanted to change something on the order of the agenda for next time? Or?
We can talk about it. We might further discuss that, but we won't change it tonight. We have too much other stuff to do. Okay. Approval for December 16th Planning Commission meeting minutes. Does everybody have the December 16th Planning Commission meeting minutes? Do we have a motion to approve of the minutes?
I make a motion that we accept the minutes as written.
As written?
I second.
Motion made and seconded. On the question or any discussion? No? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The ayes have it and so ordered. Minutes are accepted for December 16th. Thank you very much. And we have number 7 is Commissioner Training on Ordinances and Permits. Everybody has that piece of paper in front of them. Land Use Permit Application Review.
No.
This one right here. James, do you have any comments on that, on this particular?
Well, we talked to Deborah about this, and seeing the item as it's written with this training on ordinances and permits, it was not exactly sure what you wanted, but the assumption was is that when you look at the outline that I put together, is that you wanted a basic direction on how does the land use permitting and review process work from start to finish. And as you start to think about zoning ordinances and subdivision, you know, all the land use ordinances to implement your comprehensive plan, how do those translate into permits and permit applications?
Right.
Where does the rubber meet the road, so to speak?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a fair assumption?
Right.
Okay. So in that regard, what I try to do, because I know you as the Planning Commission are getting for you, you're getting comments from the public on things like the McDonald's, and there'll be new land use applications that come before you that, you know, the county's going to want some comments back on. And so I decided when I put this together is that I would take you through the land use permitting process. Essentially land use permitting 101, and that all through this, any questions that you have, anything you want me to expand upon, I mean, just stop me and ask questions. A good discussion between myself and all the planning commissioners.
Okay.
Oh, does that work?
Yes, it would.
Okay. Well, then I guess I'll start by saying that as we move through the formal and final adoption process of the comprehensive plan, the next item, as you know, will be the adoption of the implementing ordinances. Those are the zoning code, the subdivision code, there's a procedures code, and oftentimes people refer to those as zoning ordinances and subdivision ordinances, The actual ordinance is only like a two-page legal document that says, you know, with all the legal lingo, that says, whereas we find that it's important to adopt all of these rules and regulations. It's actually a code. The zoning code, the subdivision code, the procedures code. And those guide all the development. It's the specific law, it's the rules and regulations of how you develop your land within the city of La Pond. So, with that, when I get into the land use process, item number one, what are the land use applications? Everybody thinks they know what a land use application is, but essentially a land use application under the state law is any application to develop a piece of property that relies on discretion by the decision maker. Meaning it's not based on specific standards. For example, if you get a building permit, there's some things in the zoning code that actually apply, but they're not looked at as a land use application. For example, setbacks are 5 feet, 10 feet, 15 feet, height limits are 20 feet, 30 feet, 40 feet. Those don't require any discretion. You're not using a judgment call to determine if those have been met. So a lot of times those are not processed as land use applications until public notice was given. They were just looked at as part of a building permit review. They come out of the zoning code, but they're done with building permit review and they don't require any discretion or judgment. What we're dealing with in a land use application are those items specifically that require judgment call or discretion. Now, in terms of the process, there is one thing that you're going to be looking at as a planning commission is in the future is adopting a procedures code. The procedures code is the instructions. Think of this as a big board game. These are the instructions document. The instructions tell you how to play the game. They tell you things such as what the notice, public notice requirements will be, what the public hearing requirements will be, you know, length of days, number of days that you have to give for public notice, how the hearing process will work. A lot of this is guided by state law. There's some state requirements that you have to meet, so it's just put into the local code. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but those are the rules to the game. Now, when you look at the second item down, it says land use regulations, zoning code, subdivision code. Those are the codes that tell you how and why property will be or should be developed. These are the items that implement your policies in the comprehensive plan. So, for example, if the comprehensive plan has something very generic that says that during subdivision of property, the need for public parks shall be taken into consideration. Well, you may have something specific in the zoning or subdivision code that says with every subdivision of land over 10 acres, 1 acre shall be dedicated for parkland. See, it's very specific in getting at that kind of more general policy in a comprehensive plan. And when somebody applies for a subdivision of 10 acres or larger, that would be a specific provision that you'd have to look at, you know, having met that provision of the code. Now, those are all, within the subdivision code, the zoning code, there are applicable criteria for review, and those are, again, like the specific requirements. Now, the difference between the standards, like height limits and the setbacks that I referred to, and applicable criteria that are discretionary for a land use decision, is oftentimes they will require the decision maker to make a judgment call. You will see, for example, site plan review criteria or conditional use permit criteria that says the subject use shall be found to not create excessive odor, dust, light, glare on adjoining properties. Well, excessive odor, dust doesn't mean you can't create any, but it says it acknowledges you're going to create some, but you're starting to use discretion to determine what does excessive mean. And that's where the land use process, that's where the public notice comes into play. That's where you get the public comment. And there are generally rules and precedent that's been set as to how those are evaluated, you know, by every jurisdiction. But that is the basis for the land use process, is when you start using that discretion to interpret criteria like that. questions on any of that, the basics right there?
No, very well, thank you.
The second part of that then is, when you look at the land use regulations and the review criteria, we get into the application preparation and the submittal process. And this is what's done by the applicant, by the public, either, you know, by the applicant with whoever his consultants are that are working for him. And one thing you have to remember is that the jurisdiction establishes the review criteria and the guidelines and the rules, and it's the applicant's burden to prove that they meet those. The reviewing agency, or the local jurisdiction, is the review agency. They're not under any obligation to legally to assist, help, or provide information to support an applicant's proposal. It's the applicant's burden of proof. And what they do is they look at that applicant, those applicable criteria. I'll stick on the same one. They will say, for example, the project will not create excessive noise, dust, odor to adjoining properties. The applicant needs to prove how the project will not do that. And let's say it's a wood processing facility. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
And what the applicant needs to do is to say, okay, we may be creating some dust. We may be creating some noise, but it will not be excessive to the adjoining property because, and they have to tell the reason why. They tell how and why they meet those criteria. The key words are how and why.
Mm-hmm.
And they may say, well, I'm not going to create excessive dust because we will mitigate our dust by piles of debris that we have. We will continually employ a watering sprinkling of those piles to keep dust down. That's a typical method. And noise, they may say noise will be mitigated because we will build a wall around a wood chipper, and the distance between the chipper that's located on the property and adjoining properties is great enough that the noise is greatly reduced once you get off the property. Okay? But what they've done is they told how and why, and they proposed reasons as to why they meet those applicable criteria. And it's their burden to prove those. And the jurisdiction is the reviewer. Now, there's oftentimes supplemental materials that an applicant will submit. For example, a traffic analysis. Oftentimes you'll see that traffic cannot be excessive or traffic cannot push a facility past its acceptable level of service. Well, that's where the supplemental materials prepared by a traffic engineer are submitted along with the rest of the application materials to support and again show that the applicant has met their burden of proving that those criteria are met. So oftentimes, there's the basic description or written burden of proof document that an applicant will put together that tells how and why they meet the criteria. And supplemental to that are things such as traffic studies, noise studies, a variety of studies depending upon what the use is and what the criteria are that are used to support that assertion or that description that you put in the written burden of proof document. That is the applicant's burden. And when you, oftentimes, you know, that's what the local jurisdiction gets. And that's what the planners are looking at to determine, have the applicant met the criteria? Can I approve this? So then, any questions on any of that?
Yeah, I have one. Normally, do we, the planning commission, do they get those materials way ahead of time? I mean, are they in writing, and do we get them ahead of time to review before it actually comes before the planning commission?
Oftentimes what happens, as a planning commission, here's the thing, I think under item number 5 below where I have the Pine Hybrid, we'll get to that, but essentially, you know, you're responsible, and the council's responsible for the land use actions inside the city limits of La Pine, but you have a separate agency doing your review. So they treat you in a dual fashion. They treat you as a reviewing agency, meaning an agency that doesn't really have jurisdiction or overall control over whether something's approved or denied. They ask you for comments. But on the back end, you really do have control over whether something's approved or denied in your community. And there's some contractual obligations that the county, city and the county have between themselves. And that is a little bit tricky how that works out. But to answer your question, is oftentimes what the county does, they will forward to the planning commissioner, to the city, a notice typical of other public agency notices that they send notices to. They will send notices to other agencies such as, you know, Department of Transportation, the County Building Department, DEQ, it could be a whole, you know, water company, sewer company, a whole variety of agencies that they send notice of the application to. That notice is typically very generic. It gives, here's what's being proposed, here's some of the issues, and it says, if you want more information, please contact us, because we have this thick file full of information that we can give you, but we're not going to send all that out. So, to really get back to your question is, for the PINE, they should be giving you more information for the commenting agency, because you are ultimately responsible for the land use, but you're probably only getting the comment, agency transmittal notice, saying, please give us comments. But the thing to remember is if you have any questions on something that's you've been asked for comment on, you have the ability to ask for any of that information within the file. So, for example, when McDonald's was making the proposal there in town, there was traffic analysis that was put into the file. Now, if you had questions and you were getting comments from the public about, well, gee, there's going to be traffic impact, you as planning commissioners could say, okay, we got notice that the application had been submitted, but I need more information from the file. I need to show how the applicant has submitted supplemental materials to show how they met their burden of proving that the traffic impacts will be addressed and taken care of. If you're not getting that stuff and you feel you need it, all you have to do is ask for it and they will send it to you. You'll get it in every instance. Or, on that note, what you may want to do is maybe establish a little different protocol with Deschutes County about information that you, with the Pine Planning Commission, get in comparison to some of those other agencies, because you're ultimately responsible for what goes on in your community.
All right.
Okay.
Right. Okay, and that we may do that, because at this point in time, I think it may be assumed from this Planning Commission that Deschutes County Planning Commission would automatically give us at least, one full packet on any application. They haven't done that, so we may have to establish a little closer connection.
Yeah, I think that is entirely warranted. Because the irony is if one of the planners writes the decision or goes to a hearings officer and the hearings officer issues the decision, those appeals, like if it's a county application now and county jurisdictional land, those appeals go to the Board of Commissioners ultimately. If it's inside the city limits of La Pine, even though the county staff planner wrote the decision or the hearings officer wrote that decision, if it's appealed to the governing body, the elected officials, that would come back to the La Pine City Council for consideration. It wouldn't go to the county commissioners. So I think, whether it's planning commissioner or the council, a bigger packet with more information is warranted to be shipped off to all of you as compared to ODOT or DEQ or some other agency.
Right.
So I'm making notes here of things that you should, that you might want to ask the county.
Yep.
Okay. Can we move on to number three?
Mm-hmm.
The review, now we're getting into the review process, and it was a good segue, is that the first item I listed is public notice, review, and comment. Part of the review process, once an application has been submitted, which probably says the jurisdiction needs to look at, see if the application packet is complete, meaning it has all the information that it believes is necessary and required to address all the criteria. Not the quality of the materials at this point, but just, hey, if I need something to address the traffic impact, you submitted a traffic analysis. Just have you submitted it. It might not be worth a who. It doesn't see anything, but the first thing is to establish you have all the pieces. Once you do that, you send out public notice and you give comment period, and typically it's a lot of times it's like 14 days or 21 days, and the public gets to come in and look at the information in the file and submit comments. All the agencies get to submit comments. And then once that public comment period closes, then you get into the actual review. And if it's a staff planner or a hearings officer, what will happen is, because not everything takes a public hearing, sometimes a staff planner will write the decision. They will look at all the materials that have been submitted by the applicant. They will look at all the comments they got from all the public agencies. They will look at all the comments that they got from the public. and then they will do what they do is use all of their training, history, experience to look and evaluate whether or not they believe that the applicant met their burden of proof of meeting all of the criteria or didn't meet all the criteria, in which case you could deny something, or if they met most of the criteria and they can meet the rest of the criteria by the imposition of conditions of approval. An example of conditions of approval is, well, maybe you think that that use will not do a good job of screening an ugly storage area from the adjoining property. You could say, okay, well, it's not worth denying your project, but I'm going to require you to put up a fence along the property line or a vegetative landscaping screen so that the neighbor doesn't need to look at your big storage pile of, you know, whatever materials it may be. And so, and that's, you know, and those are, the, again, they're back into the discretionary realm. That's why that takes it into the land use area. But the local jurisdiction has the responsibility for review and ultimately the decision. In that initial review, sometimes, like I said, depending upon how your procedures code is written, the rule by which you follow, sometimes a staff planner can write that decision, which is the case of Deschutes County. If they think there is a lot of public input or the risk of an appeal, they will just cut right to the chase and they'll take it to a hearings officer. And the hearings officer will conduct a public hearing, and the hearings officer will write a decision. The staff will do an initial review and write a report of what they think, but you go right to the hearing, and the hearings officer will write a decision. Once the hearings officer decision is written, people that participated in the process have the right to appeal. It could be an appeal by the applicant, if it was denied, or even if it was approved with some condition of approval that they don't agree with, they can appeal it. Or maybe somebody that's opposed to the project could appeal it. And that appeal goes to the elected body. So again, if it's a project out in Deschutes County, up in Sun River, it's going to go to the, and it's appealed, it's going to go to the Board of Commissioners. In this case, if it's something inside the city of Lapine, even though, because Lapine contracts with the county, the ultimate appeal will go to the city council. See, so that's kind of, you're taking this a step further, let's go a year or two down the road, you have your own zoning code, your own subdivision code, the city of Lapine is going to have to look at, okay, how do we now administer this by yourself? You could hire a contract planner to come in and do it if you don't want an employee, or you could hire a planner, but ultimately you would have your own planner or staff position reviewing land use applications within Lapine under your own code. And that's kind of, I think, the goal that everyone has in Lapine, that, you know, I'm talking with all of you as Planning Commission and City Council, hopes to get out once all of your implementing ordinances are adopted. Now, beyond the local jurisdiction, appeals can go to the State Land Use Board of Appeals and on to the Circuit Court and all the way up to the Supreme Court. I mean, it's rare that anything gets there. The State Land Use Board of Appeals, what we call LUBA, that is, you know, during the height of all the development that was going on in Central Oregon, it was fairly common to get appeals to LUBA. It starts to get into a lot of money, and people hire attorneys, and it gets ugly really fast. But the goal is that if you do a good job at the lower levels, with the planner and with, say, at the city council and or planning commission level, then you're able to work through the issues that various parties have and come to some resolution. Because your goal, the overall goal, and I'm going to back up, the overall goal is people have a right to develop their property. This is my own personal standpoint, is as land use commander of the planning department and planners work underneath of me, people have bought property, they have a right to develop property. All of your codes basically say develop within these rules. And it comes down to the planner, whether it's the planner, the planning commission, the council, have the mentality of, okay, these rules are, we're going to use them to hit you over the head with and find reasons you can't meet them, or our job is to help you through those rules. Keeping them within the guidelines, but to help you through them. And it's just a different mindset as to whether the community is seen as a friendly place to do development, or whether your community is seen as an unfriendly place to use development. That doesn't mean you approve everything. If somebody, you know, submits a really crummy application for a project that doesn't meet the long-term desires, goals, policies of the community, I mean, you might deny it. But if it's for something straightforward, that you see as a positive attribute, I think, your job is to help that landowner through the process to keep them within the rules and regulations that have been adopted. So that kind of takes me through the review process. Is there anything there?
Yeah, James, you mentioned planners several times. Normally, is the planner's salary paid through the fees that are charged? So, for instance, right now, you know, the fees are going to the county. But in order for us to hire a planner, would that have to come out of the local budget, or is that something that would be generated from fees, or how would that work?
The planner could be funded however the city chooses to fund it. I mean, it could be general fund dollars, it could be some other fund dollars, but typically fees are what jurisdictions use to cover the planning expenses. So if you have two planners and a planning technician, and they cost you $200,000 a year between pay and benefits and everything included, you would want to gauge how many, you want to judge your the number of staff, like anything else, by the amount of work that you have, and then your fees should cover your expenses to get that work done. And by law, it's only supposed to cover the expenses. It's not a money-making venture. It's not, you know, collect a bunch of fees over here, pay our planners, and transfer that money into another fund inside the city, you know, to help pay for street improvements.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, that used to be done, but we had a lot of, you know, builders and environmental and land use lobbies that keep track of that and prevent that from happening, you know, working towards one group over here to pay for another group. So essentially, most jurisdictions have at least 75% of the planning department paid for those that review of applications paid for by the fees. Sometimes they have to, for long-range planning, for example, what Deb and I did for a comprehensive plan is long-range planning. It's not any review, it's not something you charge a fee for, it's something that the city takes on themselves. You know, the city has to come up with its own money. And so what happens here is it comes to a grant through the state. The state mandated you have something done, so they said, okay, we'll pay for it. But for these reviews, for the planners, most of the time it comes from fees. You know what, I'm going to throw something in with that, is that oftentimes a lot of jurisdictions get the finger pointed at them saying, you just approve everything. Everything that's submitted to you, you approve. You never deny anything. Well, the reality is, because it's the applicant's burden of proof, and because fees, application fees, sometimes run into, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, and then the additional studies, traffic studies, environmental studies, run into, you know, architectural drawings. To submit an application for a subdivision of, say, 50 lots may end up costing the applicant, you know, $50,000 before they ever submit the application. And so a lot of times the applicant is pretty sure that they meet their burden of proof and they meet the criteria before they ever submit something. And so that's why the majority of things are approved. Because the applicant's not going to submit something that's really a piece of junk that doesn't meet any criteria and it goes against everything the local jurisdiction wants and spend $50,000 to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times in the back of your mind, it's like, okay, well, they approve everything. Well, that's because the applicant did a pretty good job up front preparing an application.
Along those lines, though, do we need to be submitting something? You know, they're going to be starting on the budgeting process for the city. Does the Planning Commission need to present anything as far as fees or costs or, you know, anything that needs to go in the budget? Do you see, you know, this is for the coming year. Do we need to do anything on that?
I would say it will become more pertinent once you have all of your own local codes. And at that time, see, because right now, all of the application fees that are submitted to Deschutes County for review of things in the Pine are retained by Deschutes County. And so what you may want to start doing is looking at the county application fees, look at how many applications the county reviews that are inside the city limits, mm-hmm. how much they collect in fees every year.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they collect let's just say they collect $25,000 a year in fees for projects inside the city of La Pine, $25,000, $30,000, $40,000, you would have to evaluate, you know, what kind of service do you get from Deschutes County for that amount of money, and do you want your own person, and how can you afford to pay for that person with that amount of fees? So I think that's something that you may want to think about. You want to start examining it. Maybe ask the council, do you want to start evaluating that now, so that maybe when you get to next year's budget, and you have, let's say you have all your own codes in place, you have all that data.
Alright. You know, what we might do in this next year, though, is work together with the county to, you know, possibly get the applications within the city limits, you know, forwarded first to us, you know, after the county receives them, before they review it, you know, like before the public notice and review, is have that application come to this planning commission first. I mean, it would just be a courtesy to have it come here first, have us give us, you know, just a minimal amount of time, review that application, and then forward it back to the county, and then with our recommendations. I mean, you know, it would be good just to get us in the training process, get us doing our job rather than after everything is, the application's already looked at completely with the county, they've already made their decision basically, then it comes back to us for review, you know, along with public notice. I mean, basically, that's just basically tying our hands. It's not giving us any opportunity in that initial application process. We might want to get on in earlier in that application process right now somehow.
No, I agree with you on that wholeheartedly, because they shouldn't treat you just like a contracting agency, you know, that has some input. Ultimately, the city of Lapine is responsible for everything that is approved land use wise inside the jurisdiction. I mean, the city is contracting with the county, but like I said, if anything is appealed, it goes to the Lapine City Council. So it makes sense. You, the planning commissioners right now, are operating kind of in a hybrid role. You are, not only are you a commenting agency, you are also, you are the staff planners for the city of Lapine.
Right.
So, you know, let's say the city of Lapine were to hire its own planner, all this information would be right there for that planner who works for the city to look at and review.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it would be the whole enchilada to get the whole packet of materials. So I think it's very, very warranted, and we were talking about that earlier, is establish a different protocol with county as to what it is that you want the entire application packet, and you want it as soon as it's submitted.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you're not just a commenter, and that that's warranted, because ultimately the city is responsible for this. Yeah. Like, for example, like the other, when I talk about other agencies, like ODOT, or Department of Environmental Quality, or let's say one of the irrigation districts, they may have comments on how the development proposal affects their facility, but they are not a permitting agency. They do not have the ability to approve or deny a project.
Right.
Okay? So, you know, ultimately, I'm going to use the McDonald's, for example, because that had a lot of input. It was never appealed to the council, but ODOT would have commented because it has traffic that affects their facility. The county road department would have commented. But they don't get the final say of yes or no. If that had been appealed, it would have went to the city council. The city council would have gotten the final yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes sense that all of you, acting in that kind of staff liaison between the county and the council and as the reviewers, that you get the whole packet right up front.
How do we go about setting up a different protocol? Do we need to put it on, you know, in writing, or how we have to go through the city council? How does that work?
Well, I think it's something that, you know, the reality is it should just be as simple as sitting down with the county planning director, community development director, and stating, hey, look, you know, because we're ultimately responsible for a little different role, we would like to know as soon as possible, and we would like to pull our application packet. forwarded to us.
Mm-hmm.
So we know up front, we're not just a commenting agency. And hopefully, I mean, that's something that, you know, if you had your own city manager or planning director, I think it's something that you would want to transmit to the department head. I don't think it's not an action of the board of commissioners or but absent a city manager, it's something you probably just want to have a brief discussion or transmit it to the council saying, here's what we'd like to do.
Right.
We would like to have.
Okay. Could I ask a quick question?
Yep.
Okay, for example, on the McDonald's, because it was going into an existing location that had a fast food restaurant, it was stated at that time the reason they didn't open it up for a public hearing was because it was a wash, basically, and they didn't put it up for public hearing. They didn't put up the other Subway until they had the backlash of people wishing that we had public hearings on the McDonald's. So, for example, if it's not going up for public hearing, how do we make sure that it's not just going to be put through by a city, by a planner, because they feel that it meets the criteria that has been established, whereas we may want to review it for other reasons, such as existing traffic problems that have been being discussed by the city?
I think that gets back to the whole reason that you get the whole application packet right up front as soon as they get it.
Right.
And you tell them that, look, you may think it meets all the criteria, but look, we have 25 people down here that are up in arms and they're going to appeal it. So even if they might write a staff report that says it meets all the criteria and the hearings officer may approve it because it meets all the criteria. But sometimes you just want to cut to the chase. If something's going to be appealed, why make some party spend money? Why take additional time? Why not just go right to the hearing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to save process, to save time on process.
Right.
Okay. The other question I had on was, should we specify certain types that we want? Do we want to get everything? Someone's putting up a garage.
No.
Is that the type of thing that because if we state we want to see everything first, or do we want to, like, should we come up with a criteria that states business or larger development?
Yeah, let's say it's a variance to a setback. Somebody has a 20-foot rear yard setback, and they're building a house, and they have a constrained lot, and they need to reduce it to 18 feet. That's very small potatoes. I don't think that's something that you want the whole entire application packet on. You know, if something's crazy about that, someone's going to bring it to your attention.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a new development, like a conditional use permit or a site plan review for, like, you know, a new apartment complex, those are the things that you are going to want. So I think it's totally valid that you list all the different types of the applications that are possible inside the city of the Pine. Is at a minimum, we want the entire application packet for these types of applications.
Okay.
Is there a website and a page where we can access all of the applications within the city of Lapine limits?
The county webpage has all of their applications that have been submitted to them posted by virtue of where it's at. You can do it. You know, I know it would be very easy for the county to just to set something up like that or just to notify you right up front. I think a phone call and a sit down for half an hour with planning director and community development director would just solve this whole issue.
Right.
I'll tell you what, Deb and I actually, we have lunch tomorrow with county planning director, so I will bring this up to him.
Good.
Okay, yeah, just make mention of it. It's something that we don't need to spend too much more time on. You know our...
Can I ask one more question?
You know our stance on it. Go ahead.
Okay, the other question I had was based on the fact that you said that normally the notice is 14 to 21 days if it's going public notice, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So in the case that an application is submitted... and we are meeting once a month, would we have to just call special meetings if there was something that came to our attention? if it wasn't on a normal schedule, or would we have to schedule more meetings during the month to be sure that there wasn't something that needed to be covered?
Well, yes.
Okay.
I answered yes. If all of you looked at something and a couple of you had some issues, to discuss them legally, you can't have a serial meeting by email or phone call. You would have to convene the meeting. Now, on the other end, I know, like with the McDonald's and the recent, there was the wood processing facility that just went through the county, because I think Deborah provided some comment on that. You could have, whether it's she or I or someone else inside the city or another consultant could do kind of the first initial blush and cut on those. But if something comes to your attention and it's outside your normal meeting cycle, let's say you're in a meeting today and you get a notice of something tomorrow and you don't meet for a month and you have a limited amount of time. You're going to maybe want to convene a special meeting. I think it would be rare that comes up.
Uh-huh. Right.
Very, 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 very rare. And actually, let me take that back. Because when they first get the application, maybe that's the reason for them to pull the application to you as soon as they get it.
Right.
It's because they have 30 days to deem something complete. And they typically don't send out the public notice until a couple of weeks after they formally get the application.
See, that's what I was talking about, James. Prior to any public notice. I'm talking about when they first begin to discuss an application, possibly before the application's even complete. You know, like you said, there's 30 days that they, you know, have. That's the timeline I'm talking about.
Yep. Yeah, so I think if you get it, like, they distribute and assign their applications on Monday morning. So anything that's submitted Monday through Friday at 1 week is compiled and distributed to a planner, it's assigned to a planner the following Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So if something is submitted today, it's going to be assigned to a planner Monday morning. And all that planner needs to know is that if it's for the pie, they need to make a copy of the application packet and forward it on, you know, right to the city immediately.
Right, because...
That way, if they're not sending out notice for 3 weeks, public notice, you've had it for 3 weeks.
Exactly.
It's not going to skip one of your planning commission meetings.
When a McDonald's or Subway, when they go to the county and they start talking about building in Lapine, let's say,
mm-hmm.
Okay, there's... The county does not just receive this completed application at just a surprise. Here's an application. What I'm talking about is way prior to the application. The county knows, as we will when we control all building, that we'll know months in advance.
Well, typically, you're right. What will happen is that there will be pre-application meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Where the applicant will go in and sit down with city planners and discuss what are criteria are applicable.
Yeah, what do they want on the application?
Yeah, all that stuff. What kind of supplemental material do you want? But it may be the next week that the application comes in, or it may be 6 months down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So what they could do is they could give you a heads up of any time there's a pre-application meeting with a project in Lapine, and just let you know, hey, it would be nothing more than a transmittal. You wouldn't have to take any action on it.
Right. See, at that point, we can make a decision whether or not we want to even see a full packet because we would have notification that Mr. Jones wants to build a garage over on such and such road. We could discuss it in about 10 seconds and decide we don't want that full application.
Yep.
Now, you know, Subway wants to build a major arterial. Okay, we want to see the full application. I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know there's a way to do it. How we kind of scientifically computerize all this, I don't know, but, you know, it's just simple in my mind, but...
Well, the county scans everything into their computer system, so applications are scanned in. And I think, Virginia, that's what you had asked Deborah to talk to the Planning Commission about the City of Bend's electronic filing now.
Right.
And she's prepared to do that, but essentially, whether, you know, if it's Deschutes County, everything is available electronically. They scan everything in.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a simple matter of, once they scan everything in, like in sending you an entire packet, sometimes the traffic studies are inch and a half thick, so that might be difficult, but they can send you the 20 pages of meat and potatoes of it. Mm-hmm. If that's what's all scanned in, it's not like they're making big hard copies and mailing them off to you. They can, send it to you all electronically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not real difficult. After you review and you see some of these too, let's go a year down the road and we get through the summer construction season, and you've looked at a dozen of these, you'll know exactly what's important and what's not important and which issues are the big issues in every development proposal that comes down the line.
Yep.
You'll just know it. And the transportation hub is one of those. That's when you always need to see the traffic or transportation code. But that was a good segue into the next one, which was how to comment. What is your role? And you're in this dual role. You're a commenting agency. You're not doing your own reviews, but you're also the decision-making authority, but not at the lower levels. Again, taking you through those bullet points, is the first thing is to determine, thinking back up in the first couple points, is the information adequate? Do I have a traffic analysis? Do I have the DEQ study? Do I have the noise study? Do I have everything that I need to evaluate the impacts of this proposal against the criteria? And everything that you would do, again, here's a hybrid, is you may figure whether you want to hear about it or see it or participate based upon whether you think it's something that really affects, is it a good thing or a bad thing for the pie? Is it a good thing or a bad thing for our community? Or how will it affect our community based upon, our overall direction of the comp plan? And that may be your guiding light as to whether you want to take greater interest in the project or not. But ultimately, you're going to look at, do I have all the information available to me to make a qualified judgment? And then you're going to look at that same applicable criteria that the applicant had to prove that they met, and look at all the information, just like the planner's doing. This is what you're going to do as commenters, and say, do I think that they meet all of the criteria?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where each as a commission, you may all have different ideas, but you're going to have to come together as a body and say, okay, well, for one comment. And so that's the legalities of it, is you have to go by the criteria, the applicable criteria. Now, let me give you an example. I know there was a lot of comment on the McDonald's and concerning traffic. And there was, what was in there before, A&W?
Yes.
A&W, there wasn't as much concern, but because you also have to be fair to the applicant. You can't use different criteria for different people. You have to be consistent. There has to be consistency. So even though the McDonald's is far more popular of a restaurant than A&W, and it generates more traffic, more foot traffic, more vehicular traffic, more business, more interest, under the rules that the applicant has to follow, they submit a traffic study, and that traffic study is based upon what is the industry standard. It's called the Institute of Traffic Engineers Manual, and they will look at, there's a million different categories for all kinds of uses. And they probably look at fast food, 2,500 square feet to 5,000 square feet in size. And there are averages on what traffic will be generated by those types of facilities. And there's tests for 5,000, examples that have been studied all over the U.S. and they come up with an average. And A&W and McDonald's, under the eyes of that manual, are exactly the same. They're a fast food restaurant of 2,500 square feet. So they're deemed to generate the same amount of traffic under the review criteria. That's the consistency and the fairness that you have to apply, that the applicant gets to. You just can't change the rules on them. Can't treat them differently.
Right.
That's the reality that they're afforded. But we all know on the back end, there's a lot more people going to McDonald's than there were A&W, but, so that's why we have a lot of people raising those comments during the review period. I would tell you 100 out of 100 times, I understand it. I know that one business is more successful than the other, but under the review criteria, it doesn't mean squat.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing, you can deny it just because you think differently, and the applicant would appeal it, and they would win. They would prevail. They ended up in front of the State Land Use Board of Appeals and say, well, they show that they've met, there's no impact to the intersection over and above what B&W had based upon this manual. And you'd say, well, if they're more successful, they do generate more traffic. The State Land Use Board of Appeals would slap you around and ship it back to you and say, nope, we're overturning your denial and it's approved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, so that's where, on the back end, as you get these applications, you need to always weigh the evidence against the criteria. And jurisdictions need to be consistent in what they ask for and how they apply those criteria. Now, under discretionary criteria, it's not, you know, there's a little wiggle room here. that's why there's an appeals process. But overall, that's what, when you comment, that's how you're going to comment. Any questions on that? I know sometimes you don't like, you know, people don't like that, but there's fairness that has to be afforded to the applicant as well.
All right.
Anything else on that? Okay, well then, I'm going to jump right down into, we discussed already 5 and number 6 with a little time hybrid. We talked about the other view, you know, how the Planning Commission and the city's role. And so I think, ultimately, just to kind of wrap this up, I think it would be very appropriate to establish a protocol with the Deschutes County about how and when they forward you materials for applications in the city of Lapine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because you're not just a commenting agency. You have ultimate responsibility via appeal if something's approved or denied in your community. So you should get that stuff as soon as possible.
Yeah, we appreciate your comments tomorrow, James. And then, you know, if there's any further that you need from us, let us know. But it could be as simple as that, and make some contacts and start that process. You know, if we need to do anything else, if you need a letter or whatever, just let us know.
Okay, and I'll talk to Nick about it tomorrow, and I'll get that ball rolling, and I'll see. I think you won't disagree. It's pretty easy for them to convey this information to you, and I'll ask him how he wants to proceed, and we'll let you know.
Yeah, we appreciate it. You know, we're not trying to be negative. We're not putting the blame on anybody. Yeah, it's just sometimes the communication between Ben and Lapine is kind of slow.
Gotcha.
But we've got cell phones now and computers and stuff, so.
There should be no problem for them at all.
Excellent. Thanks, James.
Well, I know we took a lot of time there, but that was helpful.
No, that was very helpful.
Okay.
Excellent. You know, we appreciate it very much. Good training session.
So yeah, if we could get you guys, I just think about like your next meeting, if there are things like this that you want explained from a governmental planning function process, we can, Deb and I are more than happy to do it, so.
No, and then, you know, this is great. We may even want to establish one of our members or take turns or whatever and attend, you know, county planning commission meetings. You know, we haven't done that on a regular basis too, so we need to do that also to go up to Ben and be a presence also in some of their meetings. So I would love to as soon as I get laid off. Not really looking forward to getting laid off, but that might be something that after I do, I'll have plenty more time to get up to bed. But yeah, thanks for the comment on that, and thanks for the training. That was awesome.
You're very welcome. I'm here for the rest of your meeting via phone, and you have your next item, I provide something to you, but I'll let you proceed with the meeting.
Okay, good. We have on agenda item number 8, Transportation Systems Committee, discussion on process of selecting members. We discussed last month the process of choosing the members. Where's that?
We basically discussed the makeup of.
The makeup of what the members, you know, would look like. Anybody have a comment?
I did go to the city council, which that was presented at the city council meeting.
It's the memo you've got there from Deborah on the very top.
Oh, okay.
Right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she presented to the city council.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Yeah. January 7th. There's a section on...
I think that just has to do with the...
That's some of your changes in the comprehensive plan.
That was in the agenda packet on that. It's an agenda item that they've submitted for the council.
But when, on page six, when we were just on last meeting minutes, it's discussion of transportation system committee.
I wanted to refer to that.
Basically, what I was going to talk about was that she made the presentation as far as the makeup of the city.
Right.
And what the city council decided was to, they directed the attorney to begin working on the application process. So that's where it kind of is right now, is working out the application. For the committee.
For committee members?
Right.
To submit an application to be on the committee.
They were working at getting a formal application made up so that people could apply for the position.
Actually, I think Sue, Recorder Damerville, and him, we're both going to work on it. Do you guys have any kind of a time frame? Because I know that came up in a discussion today with the city attorney, because there's a lot of things that he's working on right now, and other things, and I didn't know if you guys had any kind of a time frame on this, or
as far as,
well,
we don't.
Yeah, as far as when you're going to need,
you know,
the stuff that he needs to get done.
City attorney is probably busy right now. I don't know if we need to. We've actually got time. With the comp plan and the state requirement of setting up transportation systems plan, it's a state requirement. And so all this planning commission was trying to do was to establish this committee so that we could, you know, get that done a little prior to when it had to be done, but we do have some time that we can refer that to February. But on the discussion on the process of selecting members, the process of selecting members, we actually have that process in that document, and I don't know.
Well, the city did not voice any objections when that was presented to them the other night. So the only thing they did do was refer it on to an application process. So they didn't actually make a motion to approve our, the way we set it, did they?
Not to my knowledge.
No.
They just,
So at this point, we've made recommendations, but it's still kind of in limbo because they haven't actually moved to say, yeah, this is the way we want the committee set up.
Okay, let me ask a question. The Utilities Systems Committee, where are we at with the council on that?
That is in
second meeting tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, now, that, okay. Well, if I might add, utilities and transportation, i.e. roads, may have to work hand in hand in the future. So when you're talking about putting in utilities down a road, you might want Utilities Committee and the Transportation Systems Committee to work closely together on some of that process. So we may want to throw that back to the council and say, well, it's up to you whenever you want to do it, but you've got a utilities committee, and just maybe tell them that they may want to consider the transportation systems committee also in the near future, and we can refer it to February, but I'd like to see it, you know, in that discussion.
Well, actually, I do plan on going to that meeting tomorrow because I'm not even sure who's on the Utilities Committee. I would like to know who's on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I do plan on going, and you know, I can give a report on that next meeting, but yes, I, you know, they have established a utilities committee, so.
So, you know, the Transportation Systems Committee might be well working hand in hand with that utilities committee. You know, and in the future, the Planning Commission, Utilities Commission, Planning Committee, the Transportation System Committee, all these folks will be working together, you know, jointly to achieve these, to approve of these, you know, applications that we're going to begin to receive. So I think it would benefit us to move as quickly as we can to at least set up committees. These are volunteer committees that are just, we're all trying to help the city of La Pine. So I see no reason to put off putting together committees.
Well, the question I had was, is the reason they were able to put the utility committee together so quickly? Well, maybe you can tell us.
Or ask.
Because,
who? City Council?
He wasn't involved.
He wasn't involved at that time, no.
So the question was, they put the utility commission together fairly quickly, that committee.
Committee. Yeah.
Whatever. Is it because we're being restrictive as to how many members have to be within the city that we have to run it by the Jeremy? Or I didn't know why one committee was put together overnight and the next committee is. I guess we need to address the city council and for a clarification as to why. But applications have to be reviewed or...
One of the things you might want to do is review some of the meeting minutes during that period when the utilities and committee was first brought up and how it got approved and how the applicants got picked, or not picked, but advertised. The only thing I can think is that right now, I believe it's the council's understanding that that committee may in fact be temporary.
Okay.
It's only an investigative committee.
Oh.
And it's just a gathering of information committee. And that doesn't mean to say, and I don't want to state that it's not going to be permanent.
Was my understanding that they appointed Ted Scholler to put together the committee, and he volunteered to put together the committee, and they said that would be great if you did that.
We did have to advertise it, though.
Okay, see, that was the last I knew, was that was what happened. That was at a town hall meeting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
I don't know beyond that.
So,
did the people have to submit applications for that? Or was it made up of entities like the water, the sewer, the...
Yeah, the council decided they wanted certain areas were covered, you know, certain people from certain areas. But then it was open when we did that. We did advertise for 2 weeks. Or someone that was interested in the committee membership.
Mm. So there are people other than those entities that are on the committee. That's was my thing. Was it if it was only made up of different various groups representing utilities, that might have made the difference. But but if they had outside people from the community, then they would have had to make out an application. So
we didn't, as a matter of fact, have any response, or Ted didn't, I believe, have any response to the advertisements. We posted it as well as advertised it in the paper.
If we had someone to head up, as Ted Scholler has, the utilities committee, that may help.
I don't know. I will say that I've had a couple people come forward and want to volunteer, you know, so we are getting some interest, which I think is really good. So they're just basically waiting for the process.
Did the attorney state when his load might be lessened to the point where he could take this on? Since he's asking for when we want it done, is there...
He didn't really ask when we wanted it done. I believe that there was a conversation between Luana and him and myself in which there was a question as to, you know, if the council had set a time limit on this.
Oh.
Or a deadline or anything like that.
do we have an application? What was the application, what did it look like for the process of utilities committee? What was that application? What did it look like?
I don't know. I think Luana was handling that.
I think we need to.
Probably some of these questions should go to the city recorder because she oversees that kind of committee stuff.
I do know that that was one thing that was brought up, is that if they did come up with an when they came up with an application, it needed to be generic. Remember, they were talking about that, so that it could be applied to anything. Mm-hmm. It would not be
just specific.
Just mm-hmm. one specific, just be a matter of changing a few words, and it would be a generic application.
Mr. Chair, can I offer a comment?
Yes.
Certainly.
Okay. The jurisdictions that I've worked in is that if they're going to have long-standing permanent committees, it's pretty much exactly the same as to how your planning commission was set up there in La Pine, is that, for example, the memo that you submitted to the city council where you suggested here's the membership and here's the reasons and the rationale as to why we need and here's who we want on the transportation committee.
Right.
What happens is the city council, either probably not through ordinance or through resolution, establishes that committee. And they give the reasons, they give the makeup, and they give the terms. And the Transportation Advisory Committee would be essentially what you had in your memo to them, and it just is formalized through resolution, and council acknowledges that it's going to be a permanent committee. And then, separate from that, I sent down an example today of what the City of Bend Advisory Committee application is, and I think it's a very good one. And attached to that is an advisory committee policy, and a disclosure of conflicts of interest. In that application form and that policy is what they use as a generic process to seek volunteers for any of the committees that they make or any of the committees that they formally acknowledge. So whether it was for Planning Commission, if it was Transportation Advisory Committee, if it was Water Sewer Utility Committee, the process and the policies would be the same. That individual resolutions stating how, why, what the makeup is, what the terms are for those individual committees would be adopted by the council.
Right, very good. And you said you sent that to the Pine City Council?
No, I sent a copy of it, emailed a copy, I think just a PDF copy today to Patty. Patty,
I haven't had a chance yet. I'm going to forward it on to Luana and to the city attorney.
Okay, good. That certainly might help. Because
And I think Jeremy could move pretty quick through establishing the process. I mean, it's pretty much, if you look at the resolution that created the Planning Commission, that it's the same thing for other committees that you want to establish.
Right.
Why, how, and then the process is just generic for every single committee.
Yes, I was totally ignorant on this, I guess, because I wasn't aware that establishing a transportation systems committee, an advisory committee, was something that was a legal matter. I thought it was...
Those things are, it depends, I just think if it's permanent committee, a budget committee, something that you're going to have regular, your planning commission regular appointments to, that's going to go on in perpetuity, those are things that you might as well just adopt by resolution, what the purpose is, who should be on it, and then use the generic process to seek applicants.
And that, that generic application is maybe what he... would see then and then be able to establish our own quite briefly then after that.
Yep. And the way that it works, that it plays out, is once the council adopts by resolution or establishes here's the committee and here's the purpose, is when they send out the generic application, which is pretty much just like a job application, it's stating, tell me why you are qualified to be on this committee where we've established this protocol and this set of rules and this interest. Why are you qualified to be on the transportation committee? I might be qualified for that, but I might not be qualified for the budget committee.
Right.
Then it becomes a job application according to those rules established for that. I might be a carpenter, but I'm not a doctor.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that would benefit the city of Lapine to establish these well-informed committees. And, you know, and spread the wealth a little bit in the city. Get the people that know what they're doing on the committees so that it all can fall back, and so that the city council can just simply make decisions, you know, as a result of months and maybe years worth of work coming from committees. It's something that most all other cities in America do already. So we're not reinventing the wheel here.
But for once they get the application, they go through an interviewing process, and the council chooses, and then they do a formal appointment, and that committee is established according to those rules. And if vacancies occur, you just re-advertise under the same generic process.
Right. Yeah, I'm wanting to spend a lot more time. I actually thought this Transportation Systems Committee would be out of our hands before now, but hopefully, we'll get that application process and get that going so that we can all. There's a lot of good people in this town who are ready to go to work and ready to get things done. We just need to give them the green light. You know, that's the thing. Okay, thank you very much. That's going back then to the council and Transportation System Committee, and that's done for that. Any other comment?
I will bring it up at the next. I will put it on the agenda for the next city council meeting because I will probably be there, and I'll ask him about it again.
Could I also make a comment if you're going to go that you might mention to them that when we get the applications in, I think a formal letter should be sent to the applicant stating that it was received and it is in review, and that no specific time had been set for when the committee members would be appointed, because sometimes the people that apply think that they got file 13.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been so long since the application process and you haven't heard anything.
Good. Just to... I mean, you know, notification. I sell for a phone call and say, hey, you know, we got your process. We got your application.
I just was thinking if they don't want to have to make the phone call. But I do think it's important because we don't want people that apply to think, well, I applied 3 months ago. I wasn't even thinking about it anymore.
Right.
So.
Very good. Look forward to next month being closer to having another committee established. Okay, agenda item number 9. Planning Commission agenda. Now, who on the commission is responsible for the agendas and how to get items on the agenda and also the agenda deadlines? Sometimes vice chairs do awesome with that particular ones that live right here in Lapine. We're here all the time, but the chair isn't and stuff.
Well, I was concerned because we got close to the wire and I got, should we even have a meeting, And since we only meet once a month, I think it's really important that we meet.
It is.
And so there were, a few things, and I figured, I told James and Deborah that if nothing else, we could use for training. But I don't want to overstep. I mean, normally it is the chair that sets the agenda, so I just threw it out there,
Not this
committee. Well, I know you're out of town, but I think we do need to establish who people need to contact and the deadlines, so.
I would like to make a motion that we establish Ms. Fleming as the agenda contact, and the chair receiving copies of that via email prior to at least an hour or two prior to the meeting would be fine for me.
You
Because, you know, I generally know what's going to be on the agenda anyway, but I mean, you know, yeah, I like anybody else, don't like any big surprises, but I haven't had any so far.
Okay, but just
life's pretty simple around the pine, so I think we'll be all right. On this question, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The ayes have it. It's ordered.
Okay.
Just make sure.
Patty, when is the deadline?
Make sure I'm in the loop.
For submitting something?
For the agenda.
For the agenda. They prefer 2 weeks prior to the meeting.
14 days.
That's their preference. If you've got something and it's going to be a shorter deadline, you probably want to check with the city recorder, City Recorder Damerville. She's the one that would be...
What's the deadline
would be of what all is going to be on the agenda,
process,
and the schedule and stuff.
The process for GLOR would be to, you know, during the month, to submit items to you, Patty, or?
Yeah, either the one or
me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, you know, can she just do that as she gets them, or do you want them to be saved up and just...
No, it doesn't really matter to me.
Okay, because we may have items that come up. I say just as you get them, just submit them. And,
well, you're saying 2 weeks you'd like to have them, but what is the absolute positive deadline?
Well,
because you have to get the packets out, and they have to be by a certain date to get on the agenda.
They do, and generally, not always, but sometimes the one that will send the agendas to the attorney to look over. Another thing that could add some time to it would be the fact that the council is trying to really have us try and get all of the agenda packets out on Thursday for the following meetings. So that would mean then the workload would come into effect. Could come into effect.
Along with that, we never established, you're chair and I'm vice chair, but it was never established how long those terms were, was it? Or did I miss that?
No. My question was, because I brought this up, and it wasn't because I had any problem with the chairmanship. I think you guys are doing a great job and you've worked together as a team, and I think that you are the best people for the position. But my question was, because John himself had said, I accept this on a temporary
right.
basis, and I
right.
thought, when was the temporary up?
It was January 1 of 2010.
We're
going to get better with this agenda, because one of the things that we'll discuss tonight is having a vote for officers on February's agenda, so we can get caught up. Because it was
I
had made a motion
on this agenda, but then it was like I couldn't remember the date.
You know, it's only 7:20. If you want to have an election, we can do that. But I don't know that it has to be on the agenda. Well, actually, we could do it on agenda item number 11 if you'd like.
You can do it tonight. I know that you don't need to have it as an agenda item.
Okay.
Then we need to do it tonight.
You don't have the full commission here, though.
Yeah, that's we better.
We have a commission.
But we have a quorum. And
typically, the person that's not there gets elected.
That's a great idea. Let's move that to the appropriate other matters on agenda item number 11 then.
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, before you leave item number 9,
yes.
They're making a suggestion that you could have as a regular agenda item is review of land use applications.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah, just a regular agenda item, because like I said, in the future, you know, we've made this request from the county, and now we're going to start getting all these application packets, so that is a good idea. Careful what you wish for. You know. Okay, so let's go ahead and do that, agenda person.
Okay.
let's get that on there for February, you know, on every agenda. Review of all land use applications. Any other comments from staff? Any questions from the staff as to what we're doing here? Are we doing good?
When you
are awesome.
Thank you.
I have one question for you. When you meet with Nick, could we get an idea as to what the income was? Or if they, you could put that on his list of things that we'd like to know as far as for planning permits.
Yep.
For Lapine, the city of Lapine.
He should have the ability to do that. And what it would be is the dollars generated by application fees within the city of Lapine.
Right.
And I'm going to ask him to do that going back. He should have 07, 08, 09. He should be able to calculate it for 3 years. So he gets, you know, the tail end of an economic boom down into right now would be one of the lowest.
Right.
We'll see a good average that way.
Yep.
Well, you know, because we are very optimistic and hopeful that in the next couple of years, Lapine's going to start booming again and building, and we need to get up to speed very quickly with this planning commission. I anticipate a planning director and plans examiner within 2 years anyway in the city and start processing our own applications. That's it, you know, it's just going to be so much easier, and what we need to do. It's, you know, people voted for this city to be a city, to, you know, let's face it, to get away from Deschutes County and do things the way we want to. I mean, folks won't be happy until we have our own control. That's what we're working toward. A little faster would suit me, but I'm just that way. I'm impatient. Okay. Is that all on agenda item 9? Okay. Moving on to 10, planning commission reports and staff updates. Anybody on the planning commission that attended any utilities committees, any transportation systems planning people who want to be on committees, anything? I've witnessed how the city of Eugene does a lot of their planning, and we need to look at some of that and learn what not to do. Those folks down there have a different level. Right now they're working on this massive riverfront park that's just to the north of U of O. And the people are up in arms down there. I mean, they are. It's got beautiful little parks in there and everything, but there's a couple of large private, you know, privately owned buildings that are proposed in this big scope of this waterfront park. And here's this waterfront park, but there's a couple of privately owned corporations that want to go in there. And so it's David against Goliath. I mean, it is, there's a lot of screaming and hollering and pickets. And I mean, you know, you people wanted to be on this planning commission, so get ready. It's coming.
That's what the public planning conference in London is all about.
That's right. Okay. No other commission. How about staff update?
Give me an update, and Patty, you could, or Patty, you're there, the woman's not there, right?
Right, correct.
I think, just we talked to you last month that the DLCD had awarded a grant to Repine for all the implementing code, zoning code, subdivision code, and I think that your city council, your mayor, has signed off on acceptance of that grant. So your council has accepted that, so now you're just in the process of, you'll be in the process of moving forward for advertising to fulfill that grant and get those things done. So that's just giving you the update. I don't know how much of that was conveyed from the council back to you.
That city recorder Gammaville is all handling all of that, so I really don't have any, much information.
Okay. But that was it. That's all I have.
Okay. The only other thing, James, you have copies of the current draft.
This is the final one, isn't it?
Map. We all have copies?
Yes. I don't have anything. Today.
Again, this is still a draft. There's a few things I don't see on here that we've talked about, but
okay.
When will this need to be finalized?
It's before the city council on February 10th. That is their hearing date. So that map, that's the current latest draft. If we miss something, I mean, yeah, by all means, let us know. But this draft map and all of your changes will go back before the city council, the public hearing on the 10th, and then we expect the council to leave the written record open and the public hearing open, just like you did as a commission, until their next meeting. And then, subject to closing that, then we'll come back and they'll have deliberation and direct changes. So, yeah, it's just the timing that the process takes. So, you're probably at least another 6 weeks that this is open.
Okay.
So, anything that you guys find on the map that you think we missed or, from our notes, let us know. I mean, because we can make those changes.
Well, I may not speak to you, and so I'd like to give us all an opportunity very quickly to just note anything that we see. Up there on Huntington Burgess, with churches and Discoveryland Playland or Discoveryland Preschool, and a building I have called Pioneer Crossing. We discussed about being
specifically commercial.
That shows strictly residential.
Okay, we may have just missed when we did all the changes with our mapping person, went back through all these, but we can tweak that again and pull the map out right now. We can change it again, so I'll be good at all.
It's getting down there, but there's we just need to just kind of finalize it and all that.
Okay. You may want to think about too, since you brought that up, is at the we had a work session with the city council at their last meeting, and Gloria was there. Oftentimes, when you get in front of like the city council at public hearings, or especially during their deliberation, is a representative of the planning commission will go to that, because sometimes the councils will say, okay, why did the planning commission direct this change, or what did they think was important about this policy, or we can explain, but oftentimes you as a representative of the commission can speak for the whole commission.
The full commission, it'd be awesome to be at those hearings. But yeah, I agree that
you guys should choose, because if the whole commission goes, then you have to publicly notice it as a meeting of the planning commission, because you have a quorum there. that's typically why it's decided that among all of you, you'll choose one.
So that's three of us.
Okay. That would be good. So,
three out of five is a quorum. So.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, if you have three of you there, then the pub, then you have to... And
that has limited to two.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's just a thought. Typically, that will happen during deliberation.
Yeah, but it's a good idea, because I don't want to record any more than we have to. So, that's amongst... I don't know if you folks want to do that tonight.
That's February 9th.
February 10th.
Yeah.
We need to establish...
And it's going to be held at the Senior Center.
The Senior Center.
To accommodate more people.
I would love to be there, but may not be able to.
Well, I do plan on being there, but I would waver to if I were to.
Let's get.
I live at the senior center.
Let's get two people to go.
We're all committed to go to it, you know.
Okay. We have one. You got here too.
Do you want to go or?
I had written it down to go, but.
Cool. Then Virginia's gone. Lori's gone. I was in favor. I don't think it's a vote, I'm sorry.
I didn't catch this either. Well, I didn't have this map.
Well, no, yeah. But, you know, and James, I mean, other than, you know, we really haven't sat down and there was.
Go through it. With a fine tooth comb, please do, because when you mentioned, like I sat down and I went through this whole map, I looked and looked, never looked, and immediately, you know, pretty much going to happen as soon as you adopt your first zoning code and your first subdivision code, the minute you adopt it, you're going to go back and say, oh man, we meant to do, and you'll have to go back and do a quick amendment to it. It's inevitable of everything that I've ever worked on.
Which, you know, it isn't impossible, but yeah, it is a little bit more of a hassle.
But please tell me, and we'll make those changes.
I had just thought that some of the either mixed-use commercial or strip commercial ought to extend on the west side of the highway up farther in. You've got Memorial Lane now master plan residential. You see just north of Victory Way. It is listed as a master plan residential. You know, I actually see some of that stuff there being future clinics, different things. You've got quite a bit of commercial right there, and these things such as small hospitals and everything require much more land than half and 1 acre. Some of these facilities require like 8 and 10 acres to be a nice little small hospital or something. And really, when we limit that to, you know, residential, even if it's master plan residential,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's very limiting. When we have some sort of maybe another small Fred Meyer or a small regional hospital comes to us, we're gonna have to work on that residential. I mean, you know. Right, Brad? Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you want to direct those changes to that, here's where the formality of the law and the process comes in, is that the planning commission, if there's things that we missed, that you directed, we can change those on the map. And that right there at Huntington Road was something I specifically that you addressed and you mm-hmm. suggested. What you're talking about now, if those are things that were not specifically discussed and moved forward as a group by the planning commission, then what you would have to do is bring that issue back up, deliberate on it, and then add that as a recommendation to the council. I know it sounds formal, but and it is, but that's the way that keeps the process going through the council, so there isn't always a bunch of second guessing.
Well, this certainly though is after the council has received, you know, the final comp plan and the map, though, right? You're talking about right now.
Well, the draft that you see in front of you right now. So anything that was that were missed that you actually voted on and said we want these changes to the map, those are all. And if we miss them, there's valid things that we can make the changes to the map. If it's something brand new that you did not address or otherwise make part of your formal recommendation, you'd have to deliberate on that again.
James, listen, tell me if I'm wrong, but my understanding was that we didn't have much control of that area because that's the county-controlled, you know, master plan area. And we could really make changes in that without going to the county planning commission. Am I wrong or not?
No, you can make changes to that.
Okay.
You can make changes to that because it's within your jurisdiction. you can definitely make changes to that. But, you know, the issue is, I think it's a subject that you probably...
But what are you going to change then? I mean, it's the...
Well, the question is it appropriate when there's industrial available?
That's the question. It's a touchy
issue.
And the truth is, they could apply for a variance, correct? So it's not totally impossible with a variance. It would just have to go under review.
Not necessarily even with a variance. It might be one of those things that when you get to the zoning code, that whatever that zone is that's applied to that property, not the town plan designation, but the zoning designation, you could list as a use that's permitted, say conditionally, in that zone, whatever it is that you feel is warranted in that area. Subject to various rules and regulations.
Okay.
But only, you know, this is the general direction of what the primary purpose for that property is. A residential, is it commercial, is it multifamily? And then the zoning code, again, think about zoning code. You look at the single-family residential zone, it allows things like schools and churches, and it allows a lot of things that are complementary to residential zones.
Mm-hmm.
And like I think one like offhand in Bend, all that area over by the hospital is all zoned multifamily residential.
Right.
But it also allowed medical facilities. That's why you end up with all the doctor's offices over there.
Okay.
They weren't incompatible with multifamily like apartment buildings, but they weren't appropriate in the center of a residential area. So you get a lot of say when you get to the zoning code.
Okay. Yeah, and that's the thing is that, you know, we really don't have the zoning code. So, I mean, when we look down here and we see these usages. We don't have the appropriate use for that code.
You're right. It's hard to put it into context right now. It's different if you're like Deschutes County, who's doing a complete like update rewrite of their comprehensive plan. They already know that some of those designations that they apply to land. They have a history with what the zoning code will allow with those designations. You know, they have that going forward. But a good, you have a county zoning code that applies inside of the Pine right now. There's going to be a lot of changes to designations. But that would be a good template to use. Because, when you look at this map and the existing comp plan map, there are a lot of changes. But a lot of them are not drastic. You can't just drastically do a 180 on people in terms of what can be developed next door to them. Well, that doesn't really make sense, you know. So the county zoning code would be a good template to look at and say, okay, what's allowed in our residential zone? What's allowed in our industrial zone? Because a lot of those are going to be the same.
Well, they're existing usages, and that was my concern is that we have existing usages right now in La Pine that they have, you know, the wrong zones to them. And,
yep.
And what I was trying to do is just clean that up and with that process. Now, you know, I was just a little bit too forward thinking on that ground that's in that county master plan. I really envision that to be closer to downtown La Pine than what it really appears to right now. And having more room for a few more, you know, larger shopping facilities and such that we don't have now. So, you know, that's all I was looking at. You know, in the future, you know, if Fred Meyer or somebody wants to come to the town, it's going to be fairly easy for them to get variances on zones anyway. So I shouldn't be really concerned that much.
The thing to keep in mind is, council can, at the request of the planning commission, even these are all adopted, and these are adopted so that you give your community, meaning the citizens of your community, and then you as a city as an entity, some direction, and some direction as to what you see happening in your community for the next 20 years. But that direction, it's not a straight arrow down the highway.
Right.
I mean, there are exits off the highway where you may say, yeah, well, I can get 5 years down the road. You know, that's why we have a provision in the comp plan, if you remember, that says, hey, every 2 years you're going to revisit this and say, are these all going the way we think they're going, or do we need to make some changes?
Yes.
You can come back and amend these documents.
Mm-hmm.
They're to provide general direction. Like a lot of communities, they don't call it a comprehensive plan, they call it a general plan. Mm-hmm. Is this the best general direction? I think of it in terms of, like, you know, it's like, you ever watch the Weather Channel when they have the hurricane forecast? If here's where we think it's going to hit, but it may go here or here.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what your general plan does. It's going to take you in that direction, but you have the ability to go back and amend that as necessary if things aren't going the way you thought.
Right. Okay. Everybody's, excuse me, had a chance to look at the map. Any other?
Well, that mainly is that one correction up there by Burgess and Huntington.
Is there any other usages that, you know, really should be changed? I mean, I don't know that.
Well, I hate to say this, but since we've already passed it on to the city, I guess we could make a recommendation after the fact, but.
Well, we haven't.
To make a comment.
That's February 10th, and we already passed it, you know.
No, we already did.
Oh.
We voted last time to go ahead and forward it on.
Oh, yeah, right. You're correct.
So,
the public hearing will be on February 10th, but then they're going to leave the record open for 30 days for public comment.
So it might be best, other than the corrections of the errors, to just leave it until we get public comment and see what they have to say.
Yep. Yeah, we need more public comment. That's for sure.
Is there an option for any public comment right now?
What?
Any public comment right now?
Well, actually,
I know that was at the beginning.
In regards to the map.
I would entertain. We have very little public here, so I'd entertain Dan if you have a comment. You have a copy of the map?
Yeah.
Do you have any comment?
Well, Don was just kind of sharing with me his. Understanding what the developer really had in mind in that area that you were talking about, I think it might be helpful just to have you hear that.
Spill it out, Don, real quick.
What he was envisioning was a row of shops and a shopping area with apartments above the shop, and make it a kind of a nice area where you could get into along with a park along through that area too. So something like that, I think, would be really appropriate down in there.
Well, it's residential. It's own master plan residential. That may go in as a master plan on that residential zone. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. You know?
And let's talk about senior housing in there too, additional senior housing.
Yeah.
So.
See, those are all things that when you get into the zoning ordinance, you can list as uses that are either permitted outright, or uses that are listed conditionally, or uses that are listed that are allowed in that zone, but may be subject to some special development requirements.
Right.
And typically, you know, that those are things that can be added into the zoning code, because that's where you get into the uses.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, James, I think, you know, we have a good start here. I have no criticism about this map. I think it's a good place to start. You know, my concern has always been larger tracts of land for larger commercial ventures, shopping malls, regional hospitals, schools, and COCC, you know,
extensions.
I mean, these outfits need 5 to 10 acres. They can't operate on 1 acre parcels. And when I look, you know, I just want to go on record, when I look at this map, it's a very large city here, but I just don't see those larger parcels other than industrial and the county's master plan and this, you know, the new sewage treatment facility. I mean, and, you know, as we discussed before, that ground that's east of Highway 97 that is right now the current sewage, your pivot out there in this treatment facility, if in the future, you know, I want to just lay the groundwork out, if in the future that sewage treatment facility does move east, and the BLM transfer, a lot of stuff has to happen, but then that ground closer to the highway right there, I'd like to see that sewage treatment facility move a little farther off that highway. It's almost like we used to have an auto wrecking yard on the highway in downtown Lapine, alright? An auto wrecking yard on downtown Lapine on the highway. Well, thank God that moved farther away. Now, you know, we have a sewage treatment facility on the highway now. My just personal, this can be off the record, I think sewage and stuff like that needs to move off the highway a little bit. If we're going to attract, you know, the people that will call upon their home. And, again, off the record, the county's looking at that sewage treatment facility being a regional sewage treatment facility. And you know what? I'm all for that. I'm all for Lapine receiving the sewage from south of Sun River and Crescent. I don't care, but again, if it was moved a little farther off the highway, when I think of an enlarged sewage treatment facility, then I keep wanting to move farther east. So that's just something that's been on my mind. Okay, Patty, you can strike the record. Anyway. All right. Let's stay real positive here. Any other staff update?
No, I have nothing else.
Excellent. Thank you, James, for your time tonight. You're awesome.
You all have a good night.
Yes, you too. Have a wonderful month.
Yes, well, I'm going to check out, but you can always call me or Deborah, and tomorrow I'll take up that stuff with Nick Wheelack, the county planning director.
Excellent. Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks, James.
Okay, on other matters, agenda item 111. One of those matters probably added to this agenda under item 1, number 4. Do we have any other matters? I can't think of anything.
Other than your temporary position?
Other than my temporary position. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. We're so far behind, I can't even see, you know, in front of me. We need to have an election tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We need to have an election because I had actually made the motion that when we formed this commission, that it be, you know, that the officer be a temporary position until January 10. We'd serve back in June or July 11. And so to give us each a chance to, you know, see if we really wanted to be on this commission and or an officer of this commission. So let's hold our permanent election tonight.
And that will be for how long?
Well, we had already chose our little time slots.
Okay. Until your term lengths have been chosen.
Term lengths.
But there's been no time put on your officers' positions. As far as how long.
So we would go by whatever our term is for the service of the, on the commission? Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is nothing's been determined as far as officers. We couldn't find anything that you guys had made a decision about, the council had made a decision about, regarding the length of term of your officer positions.
Well, I would kind of like to make it like be a year.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
Joe, I think officer position, I've been on other commissions and they do generally go for 1 year. So, you know, I'm going to make a motion that we establish our officer term limit to be 1 year and elections will be held January 1 of each year for officers.
I so move, well, I move that we have our officer elections every January, because our meeting might not be on January 1st, but every January, and the officer's term would last for 1 year.
The committee chair.
Everybody.
And vice chair.
Right, committee chair and vice chair.
Well, and,
you think a year's longer to get your feet wet?
Well, it's just a position, and then it can, they can always be switching.
I don't know, I've been in there since June, July, and my feet are plenty wet.
It doesn't mean that it's limited to, it's just that it would have to be renewed, or re-elected, confirmed.
I'll second it.
Can you read that back, please?
Motion to establish our officer term limit to be 1 year and elections to be held in January of each new year for officers.
Mm-hmm. Sound good to me? Okay. Motion made and seconded. Only question? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? The ayes have it. So ordered.
Okay.
Okay, now, on the election process, what we will do is just someone make a motion for chairperson first. Do I have a motion for a chairperson?
I nominate John Thomas. I second.
Motion is made and seconded. No question? Mm-hmm. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it. For a position of vice chair person, I nominate Gloria Fleming.
I second
you. No question? Or any comments? Negative or positive? No comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it, so ordered. How about for secretary? We got a good secretary there? It actually, in our bylaws, it states that it will be the city recorder or the designee.
Yeah.
So are we still happy with that language? Okay. So ordered, we have.
Can we find a job for Renee to just get out of here?
I definitely need transportation.
I don't know, that isn't really an officer, but actually, we should make that official and nominate her as the Transportation Systems Committee representative for the Planning Commission.
I agree.
So,
as long as she feels able to.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I think she should be a representative because she's knowledgeable.
Uh-huh.
She's very good in the
temperature.
There was a second, I think.
Oh, okay.
Who made the second?
I did.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Question.
Just a question. When you made a motion, you made for a term limit, and you shouldn't have a term limit. Because that says in 1 year you're gone.
Yeah.
That's your limit.
Well,
so I think
Virginia
you
want
to
pull
that back and just say your term of office.
Virginia, what was the wording you said for
Have Patty read that back.
We need the right wording in that.
Motion to establish our officer term limit to be 1 year and elections to be held in January.
Okay, wait a minute.
Our officer term
shall be for 1 year. Not limited to 1 year.
Yeah, just leave off the word limit.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. Wording is very important.
Yes, it is.
In these minutes.
Now we've run out 4 years this week.
I'm an empty house.
Oh,
thank you all, especially, you know, those of us and those of you from the public. Thank you very much for coming. We are trying very hard to get that transportation committee going.
Okay. Tomorrow is our tag meeting.
I feel it's a hotbed in La Pine, and, you know, get roadbed, you know, hotbed. You know, it's something that really is going to be very, very important.
It is.
Long before La Pine was established as a city, you know, one of the main topics of discussion down here at the old watering hole was, roads. And how do we get around? Snow plowing, you know, some chip seal here and there, some paving and everything. We should adjourn before I start rattling off.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Motion made.
I second.
We're adjourned.
Aye.